It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. We have an exciting show for you today. We're getting ready for opening day and we're going to relive some of our favorite ballpark memories. We're also going to be talking about some bullpen cars and a lot of bygone things from MLB past. But first, I want to introduce you to some of the people who are joining me today. One of my fellow Cut 4 writers, Matt Monaghan.
How you doing?
And then we have him routed through on satellites, bouncing all around the globe. We finally got our Los Angeles bureau chief, Michael Clare, on the phone with us. Michael, how's it going?
It's good. I think the satellites are probably more interesting than anything I can contribute today.
Hey.
We'll see you later then.
We're hanging out.
All right. Yeah.
This was good. It was good having you on the show, Michael.
Thank you guys. Really appreciate it.
How are things out in LA? Is it nice and sunny?
It's nice and sunny. A little chilly. You know, it's only like upper 60s right now. Ugh. So, bundled up a little bit.
Yeah. You lead a really tough life out there.
I do. It's really difficult out here.
Mr. Hollywood. Yeah. Hollywood Claire.
We're going to just start calling you Hollywood now. I hope that's okay.
Yeah, no, that's totally fine. I actually live in Hollywood, and it's some say it's not nearly as glamorous as it is. It's not. It's a pit.
Well, you're bringing the glamour, which is really what matters. You're taking it up a notch.
Well, thank you.
Good. Well, this weekend, I don't know if you know about this, Mr. Clare, but baseball is actually going to be played on Sunday night. There's actually a game that is going to count. Can you believe that?
It's very exciting. Winter's over. Spring is here. Life has returned. Everything is perfect and nothing hurt. I think Kurt Vonnegut was talking about opening day.
You know, you're right. I think that's exactly what he was talking about.
That was beautiful. I'm crying.
This is the value that our LA bureau chief is bringing to the podcast.
It's
poetics.
Wonderful.
Matt and I, we talk a lot instead of working. And what we were talking about was that opening day, what's really exciting about it, and opening night is just, we're always excited to sort of be back in the baseball mood and back in the swing of things with baseball. And, we were just sort of reliving some of like our favorite baseball stories of games we attended. Last year, we were actually at Citi Field. We went together.
Bartolo.
We saw Bartolo. We saw Bobby Abreu's last game.
Sad.
Sad.
Yeah.
We were wondering, what are some of like our favorite ballpark memories? And we'll go around the table and we'll all sort of chime in. And Claire, we'll start with you. What is like some of your favorite moments that you've experienced at a baseball game?
Well, let's see. So, the big moments, obviously. I was at Bryce Harper's first game where he hit his first hit, picked up a double, and Matt Kemp won it in the 10th inning with a home run. But that's boring. Everybody has a story like that. I saw Chris Duffy inside the park home run. Obviously,
wow.
That was great.
Wow.
But I would say my two favorite games, one, I was at Fenway Park. David Ortiz was on first base. It was a double play ground ball. Instead of getting in a rundown, though, it was Ortiz, so he just hugged the second base. And it was just such a – everybody around me was screaming and was so unhappy because the Red Sox got out. But I was just filled with so much joy and happiness from the love that Ortiz had for the game and his fellow player and human touch, which is really important.
You're right. It is important.
I actually learned last week that a hug helps soothe existential fear. So David Ortiz actually probably helped soothe. I can't remember who he hugged. It was the Mariners. But he helped soothe the fears of what is this all for and what does it all mean?
That's a really good point. I've never thought of David Ortiz as like a philosopher or some sort of like an intellectual worthy of study, but I think you're right that he definitely filled that role, and he's obviously a famously great hugger.
Great hugger, the best. I'd say he's the best hugger, but people disagree.
Yeah, I was going to say that we've had some controversy in the past before. With there are a lot of Freddie Freeman fans out there who would probably disagree with you on
that. Yeah, Huggate. Yeah, it was a scary time in Cut 4 history. But
yeah,
I love the Big Poppy hugs.
They're great.
I would love to get a hug from Big Poppy.
Me too.
I don't know what situation.
David,
that would
if
be
you're
in,
listening, feel free to stop by the Cut 4 office and hug all of us. Yeah. We would all very much appreciate that. Claire, that's a good one. Anytime you get to see sort of an odd, rarity on the base path with David Ortiz running the base paths,
beautiful.
Anything like that is always going to be a positive.
So we might not be able to say run. He took two steps, stopped, and gave a hug. But his HPA, his hug probability added, was like 1.5, which is one of the largest of all time.
See, again, another really great addition from our LA bureau chief, bringing the sabermetrics. I saw David Ortiz. They were playing the Rays in Tampa. I was there for a 3-game series. And I saw him beat out an infield hit. And it was like a weirdo one with like a broken bat. And so, it wasn't like a full-on infield hit. But the confusion in Tropicana Field that David Ortiz like reached on an infield single was just, it was palpable. Nobody
hysteria.
Knew what to do.
Yeah. Jeez.
Well, Monaghan, what about you? What's one of your favorite baseball memories?
I have a couple. I have one. When I was young, I went to a Mets-Padres game at Shea Stadium. Wonderful Shea, Miss Shea. caught a batting practice ball from Tony Gwynn.
Really?
And, it actually hit off my friend's chest and then bounced into my lap.
That's so cool.
I kept it. Yeah, I didn't give it back to him. But
it bounced off his chest. Your friend was injured and you kept the ball.
He was crying and I just kept put the ball in my pocket, and I didn't really care. But
I've never seen him again.
I haven't actually. I haven't seen him in a long time.
Well,
I don't know if that's why.
Yeah.
I guess that's why. Yeah. And then another one was I was talking to my brother and father about this, but it was back in '95, Fenway Park. I saw Matt Stairs in one of his first kind of. It was the first year he was. He was on the Red Sox for a year, and it was kind of like his, I think it was one of his first at-bats with the team or at Fenway Park, and it was just like, who is this guy? Like, who is Matt Stairs? Like, who is this guy? He's in his, third year maybe playing, second full year, and they didn't even have a picture for him on the Jumbotron. We all were laughing about that, and then they used his picture from his first at-bat when he came up again. I think he got a hit. I'm not sure, but now thinking back, it's like Matt Stairs. I saw Matt Stairs early in his career, like Matt Stairs, who just mashed home runs.
That's cool.
So it was pretty cool. Pretty cool moment.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, it was wonderful. Those are my.
That's it.
I mean,
no more baseball memories.
I didn't see another game after that. Yeah.
Me neither. I don't know. I'm actually really excited to go to my first game this year.
Yeah, it should be exciting. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about you? Yeah. What's your? Do you have any besides the Poppy?
Yeah, for me, it's funny. All of these seem to be at Fenway Park, which is interesting. But I think it's something about the atmosphere of that stadium. Mine is also from Fenway Park, much like Claire, like I've seen some pretty cool things. I was there when David Ortiz hit that game tying grand slam at the ALCS.
Right.
I've seen all that kind of stuff, but one of my favorites was, again, this was another Red Sox game. This was like 2009 or 2010. And I was there by myself, and I was sitting in, the like little triangle out in center field. I was sort of like on the very last seat.
Oh, wow.
In one of those little areas.
That's a
right
cool
in the
spot.
Front row. Yeah, it was really cool. And all the people sitting next to me were together, and they were like from some sort of a party, and they had just put the one seat up, and I bought it, and I went there. And the game itself was really exciting. It was they were playing the Tigers, and I think it was Buckles and Scherzer, I want to say, or I forget who it was. I went to two games. One was Scherzer, one was Verlander. So it was one of the two of them, which was pretty cool in and of itself. But Clay was dealing, and in the end, they wound up bringing in Jonathan Papelbon to try to finish off the game and get the save. And he was running into some early trouble, and I believe he ended up giving up the tying run. And the people next to me, I mean, these were these were Boston people. I mean, these people are from Boston. It felt like the cast.
Boston.
Yeah, it felt like the cast of Good Will Hunting was sitting next to me. That is what it felt like.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, the whole game, they're talking to each other. One of the guys was telling a story about how he sat behind the dugout back in 2004, and that was, like, his favorite seats, but he got kicked out because he tried to get into a fight with Mike Timlin because he kept calling him a bum. So, like, that's these are the kind of people I'm sitting next to.
Yeah.
So Papelbon gives up the tying run. And they're not happy. And so the guy gets up, and he goes, and we're literally right behind the bullpen. And this was, you know, Daniel Bard was having his big breakout that year. And so they, you know, the guy like goes up and stands right behind the bullpen and just starts shouting into the bullpen, "Bring in Bard! Bard! Send in Bard!" And he's just screaming about Daniel Bard. And Daniel Bard is, like, right there, and you can tell that he hears this happening, and he's, like, trying to, like, you know, back up his guy out on the mound, but, like, it's really uncomfortable because everyone in, the stadium can hear this dude shouting for Daniel Bard. Papelbon ends up getting out of the inning, and they did start warming up Bard, but I believe the Red Sox won it on a walk-off. They won the game. I don't remember if they won it. How they won it, but it was.
I love it. Red Sox come back, win it on a walk off, and what you remember is the guy screaming for Daniel Bard.
Yeah, well, that's the important part.
Yeah,
yeah, the win, whatever. Wins and losses, who cares? It's all about the
that's
really
who you
strange
come for
people
at Fenway Park for those the Bard, you know, the Boston accent.
People trying to get into a fight with Mike Timlin. Now, I'm not suggesting anyone get into a fight with Mike Timlin. I think actually the exact opposite. You should avoid a fight with Mike Timlin. But
yeah,
you
Mike
know,
Timlin's a tough guy.
A good story though for that guy.
Yeah, except he lost his seats behind the
That's true, but he wasn't banned from the stadium.
True.
So he got that one.
True. And those seats seem like they'd be pretty fun.
I know. Well, pretty much everywhere.
Yeah,
you know, as long as you're facing the field,
the monster seat.
Yeah, I mean, you get to see it's, you know, I think like
Have
I said
there's
a reason I've not been on the monster.
No, I've been.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun.
I have a friend who's like a really passionate Yankees fan, and he got tickets to sit on the monster. And I was and he was like, I really like it. It's really cool.
It's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're like hovering over the left field there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. I saw it down in spring training because they have the replica.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it's a great stadium.
It's great. Yeah. It's one of the classics.
Absolutely one of the classics. Well, here, let's, we're a very topical show here. We like focusing on the issues of the day that people care about. And last night, we're taping this on a Thursday, so this would have been Wednesday night.
Yep.
The Mets, one of their, 1967 bullpen car was up for auction. And it sold for $112,000, $112,500.
And it was supposed to go for like, what was the estimate?
It was originally listed for like 30.
20, they were expecting 20 to 30,000.
Yeah.
Still a bargain though. $112,000, still a bargain for what you're getting.
Who bought that?
I thought you bought it. So I was confused when I came into work and I didn't see it here.
See me driving in from Brooklyn?
Yeah, exactly. But this is what the interesting thing about that to me is. So it went for dramatically more than people thought it was going to go to.
Yeah.
And to me, what that says is the people want more bullpen cars.
They love the Mets too.
Well,
everyone loves
obviously the Mets. People love the Mets.
Yeah.
But they want to meet the Mets.
Greet the Mets. Step right up and meet the Mets.
That was really embarrassing, Matt. What it says to me is that people want more bullpen cars. And this is a tradition that people would like to see return to the game. And that got me wondering, what are other traditions or other things that were in sort of the baseball oeuvre that you would like to see return to being part of the experience, part of the day-to-day baseball experience? Matt, we'll start with you because we started with Claire on the last one.
I have a couple things. I have the one thing I would like to return to baseball is Willie Mopeña.
Okay.
Return to Major League Baseball.
He's certainly like a concept.
He's a concept, yeah. He's a home run hitting machine.
Mm-hmm.
And a team needs to sign him. It came close this year. Very close.
That's true, yeah.
He had a couple suitors, but nothing ever panned out. And he's a guy, I know Claire loves him. Everyone loves him.
Well, yeah.
But he's just monster home runs. Like, you watch some of his old videos, and it's just like... Wow. And he was still hitting them. You know, he's been playing in Asia. He's been still mashing homers. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to see him return to the game.
Me too. Claire, I believe, was tracking Willie Mo's return to the majors. Is that right, Mike?
It's happening. I think we're just 20 to 30 years away from it. he's ahead of his time. And so I think he's just society hasn't caught up yet. Mm-hmm. But he'll be there waiting. He's sort of a celestial being above and be a god, I suppose, in sort of the Greek sense.
A home run god. Yeah, I agree.
I agree with that. And what's good to know is that you heard it here first, that, you know, 20 years from now, you're going to see Willie Mo Pena back in the bigs, which, you know, we break news.
Put him on your keeper roster now, though. You know, you want to grab him before everybody's on it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's, I think, is the best thing about the Cut Forecast, is that we provide these really helpful fantasy tips, and we really are, we have our ear to the ground on the happenings in Major League Baseball's front offices. So remember, bookmark it now, 20 years from now.
Willie Mo returns.
Willie Mo.
Say hello to Willie Mo.
Say hello
that's
to Willie
be
Mo.
That's going to be the tagline. That's the trending hashtag.
Yeah, that'll be on whatever the social media today is.
Maybe not Twitter. Yeah, I don't know. Something. So, say hello to Willie Mo. There'll be billboards everywhere. Say hello to Willie Mo.
It's like, true.
All over the...
Yeah, and, you know, there'll be, like, teams on other planets, too,
yeah,
at that point.
Yeah, flying cars. And, yeah, so...
Okay, well, that's good. What, do you have anything other than Willie Mo that you would like to see return, or just him?
That's pretty much it.
Okay. Baseball's perfect. If
solid.
You could change one thing.
I have some, like,
it would be to return Willie Mo.
Yeah, Willie Mo. Yeah, I think I'll stick with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's a fair point.
Yeah.
Claire, what about you? What would you like to see make a return to the majors?
All right, so I've got a couple things. Going fashion heavy.
Okay.
What I want to see come back... stirrup socks with the stripes. A couple teams have some. You know, Brendan Ryan famously rocked them with the Cardinals. If you've seen the new 2015 alternate Mariners uniforms with the gold and the blue, they've got a great option. Get everybody wearing them. You need the stirrup because you need that little flash of white around the ankle.
Okay.
That's obvious.
I like that.
The cardigan, the baseball cardigan. It dresses up. It dresses down. You can wear a t-shirt with it and look disheveled and cool. You can wear it out to a nice dinner. You can wear it all warming up on the field. Again, totally obvious.
Okay.
And then turn ahead the clock uniforms. I know you guys have talked about this in the past. Mm-hmm. And with Willie Mo coming in 20 or 30 years, why not imagine what uniform Willie Mo will be wearing 20 or 30 years
That's
from
a
now.
Great. No, I like that.
I'm just picturing that and it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
Those turn ahead the clock uniforms.
To move away
too.
From fashion, the one thing I want to see come back is the novelty baseball song.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
There's, you know, Ernie Banks recorded one. The 1990 Reds recorded one. The Phillies have recorded one. The Dodgers have. Even Terry Tub of Goo Forster recorded one.
Tub of Goo.
Can you just imagine how great it would be if there was some sort of novelty song by Yasiel Puig featuring Juan Uribe on ukulele?
I can't imagine
Bartolo
that.
Bartolo Colon doing some opera number. I mean, the possibilities are endless, especially with GarageBand.
Yeah.
I mean, they can do it in their spare time.
That is, what a great point. That actually leads perfectly into what my suggestion was going to be, because mine is also musically related. What I miss are the team anthems. Like, they're, you know, you have the Mets, obviously, have the famous one. But, like, I just think that every team should have, like, a real quaint anthem that they play. And not like, you know, the Red Sox do Sweet Caroline and, you know, the Giants do Lights and the postseason and all
that.
Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
I want, like, a real, like, you know, Meet the Mets style classic ballpark song for every team.
Yeah.
I feel like, Claire, I feel like you have my back on this. Am I right?
Oh, I'm behind you 100%.
Yeah, you know,
it's fun walking in, like when you would walk into Shea or when you walk into City and you hear Meet the Mets and you're like walking in, you're like listening, you're like, wow, yeah, this is cool.
Yeah.
It's baseball.
It really
is
cool.
Yeah.
I did a post about the 2013 postseason, I think I did a post about a lot of like official team songs.
That's right.
And there was one from the Tigers that was really exciting. It was called Go Get 'em Tiger.
Yeah.
Which, like, I love that stuff. I live for that stuff, especially if they can do it in that real quaint sort of mid-century style. That to me is like the ultimate.
Yeah.
I think every team should have one of those. And then everybody can learn it, and everybody can sing along, because everybody, except for you, knows the lyrics to Meet the Mets. And so that's like, that to me is one of the quintessential ballpark features.
What about fan anthems? Do you like those? Are those?
Of course, those have not gone away. That's the thing, though. Like, I love fan anthems, but thankfully,
those will never go away.
Those are still a part of the fabric of MLB.
Yeah.
Which makes me really happy.
Yeah.
But it's those the official fun. It's the official team sanctioned. Yeah. This is our fight song. Like, I went to a school, Wesleyan University, that has a very, we all know our fight song. We love our fight song.
You guys are really good at sports. You have a strong sport.
We play sports. That is true. We have sports teams. But that's the beauty of the fight song is that it's not just connected to the sports teams. It's just connected to our identity as Wesleyan students, the Wesleyan Cardinals. Yeah. So, like, that, to me, is the joy of having an official team anthem. So, yeah, you can sing it when, you know, you're running into the stadium to watch your team play. But you can also sing it if you see a fellow fan at a bar.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever.
You can always connect with other alum, you know, on that topic.
Exactly. That's a way that I Jordan you always know when bar. There's a Wesleyan alum.
Have you done that? Have you like seen a Wesleyan and then you guys start singing together at a bar?
Absolutely. Whenever I'm completely serious. When I see somebody who went to Wesleyan who I didn't like know went to Wesleyan, and we're always like, oh, you went to Wesleyan, and then it's every time. Always.
That's great.
Well, that might be, you know, sort of the theater major went to Wesleyan.
No,
kind of thing. Right. Like, just looking for an excuse to sing it. Anyway.
Yeah,
But see, that's the thing. I hate singing. The only song I like to sing, literally the only song I like to sing, is the Wesleyan fight song.
Can you sing it right now? Can you? We should have a sing along on the next Cut Forecast.
We should have a sing along on the next Cut Forecast. Do you really want me to sing the song?
Cut Four anthem. That's
we should have a Cut
Four
anthem.
That is a really good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. We need a Cut Four anthem. Claire, you need to write us the Cut Four anthem. All right?
Great.
That's your assignment.
All right, I'm on it.
Good. I'm glad that you're on it. Well, we should probably get to wrapping up the show because we've just talked so much about really important issues. And I think that I just think that if you're listening right now, you probably are saying they've just spoken about too much serious stuff. And too many important issues that I've been rattling around in my head. So I'd like to just take a moment to process it myself. And so we're gonna go and we're gonna give you the time to process what we've really shared with you today. But before we do that, we feel like we need to really wrap it all up and put a bow on it. And the way we do that is by summing up the whole podcast into one tweet, 140 characters. And you can have hashtags, and we're going to go around the room, and we're going to, and all the way out to Los Angeles, and we're going to each share how we sum up the podcast in 140 characters. Monaghan, we're going to start with you.
Okay. I kind of already said this during the cast, but I'm going to say hashtag FFF, flash forward Friday.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know if that's a hashtag that's
being used.
It is now. Say hello to Willie Mo.
Good. I like that.
Hashtag MLB.
Say hello to Willie Mo. That is really good. All right, Claire, you have a really tough act to follow.
I know. And unfortunately, I have no choice but to follow the same line.
Ooh.
All caps, Willie Mo, hashtag forever, and then as many exclamation points as it fills until you're done, and then make another tweet of just exclamation points after that.
That is some good tweeting. That is some good tweeting.
Mine, I'm going to pose a question in my tweet. I often like to do that to help spur the conversation among my many followers, all 10 of them. And this is the question that I would pose to my followers. Who would win in a fight? Willie Mo Pena or Mike Timlin, hashtag cut forecast. So what we'd like you to do is, you're listening, you probably have a feeling about how to sum up this podcast even better than we did. So feel free to tweet that at us, at cut four, hashtag cut forecast, and follow along on our website, mlb.com/cut4, to enjoy more of our content and enjoy more of these incredibly riveting stories. Matt, I want to thank you for joining me.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Well, thank you. And Michael, thank you so much for calling in and for navigating the satellites all the way over here from Los Angeles.
It was very difficult, but, you know, thank you for having me.
Thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you.